Hi, welcome to Go to the Word Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Daniel, and we're in chapter 3. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. Let's take our Bibles and go over to Daniel chapter 3. When you come to Daniel chapter 3, it is a passage of Scripture that is perhaps one of the more familiar ones in the book of Daniel. We have, of course, the lion's den. We have the image of Nebuchadnezzar that kind of strikes our psyche, but this chapter is the one where we have three Hebrew young men who are unwilling to bow the knee to a person who has pretty much lost the plot. So Daniel chapter 3 brings before us the reaction, if you will, of King Nebuchadnezzar over what he had dreamed and the interpretation. And all he heard was, "You, O king, are the head of gold." That's all he heard. You know, it is an interesting thing that God gives us, we in this room, He gives us the truth. And the truth is that if you're a child of God and you're born again, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. If God be for us, who can be against us? Then no man can pluck us out of our Savior's hand. No man can pluck us out of the Father's hand. He and the Father are one. Can't happen. He that comes to me, I will in no way cast out. Now the funny thing is that that really is a divisive truth. Because the Bible then goes on to say, by their fruit you shall know them. And sometimes we think people today have gone full on licentious. They've said, I'm a Christian, I will never be lost, and therefore I can live any way I want, I can do whatever I want. In fact, when you get to the book of Revelation, the Bible tells us in chapter 3 to the Laodicean church, the one thing left, the one low-hanging piece of fruit they had left, it was that withered tree, the tree of the church age. It was about done. I mean, they had blown it. They had gone full-on licentious. And he says, listen, I got one word for you. You need to remember. Whom the Lord loves, he chastens. Whom the Lord loves, he chastens. If there is no chastening, there is no salvation. Because people can take that thing that I personally, if I was thinking man's thoughts in man's way, I would say I would never tell the people that once they're saved, they're always saved. God, can we have a conversation? Because people have a tendency to take that and exploit it. But God said, no, there's a history here. There's a past and there's a present. And I've given a perfect salvation day. The Bible says, behold, today is the day of salvation. He doesn't mean this day, 24 hours. He means this period of time. And what you and I need to recognize is you're in a period of time where your mettle is really being tested by the fact that God put in your lap the truth that saved is saved. It's not being born again and again and again and again. It's being saved once for all. And if you're saved once for all, then God therefore owns you as His very own child. And that's the picture He gives, isn't it? He says, born again. To as many as received Him, He gave the right to become the children of God. Isn't that good? You're His child. And that means if you misbehave, He's going to scourge you, which is more the spanking side of things. But you're going to get chastened. Listen, even if you're not misbehaving, because chastening simply means He puts you under the fire a little bit so you can, you know, get your mettle tempered. The Bible says that the trial of our faith is more precious than that of gold that perishes. And He's not saying the trial is more precious than gold. He's saying your faith is more precious than gold. Your faith. It's the thing God points the principalities and powers to. All of these angelic hosts, all of the demonic hosts. That is faith. Watch it go. And He did it out of the gate with the book of Job, didn't He? The book of Job. Have you considered my servant Job? He says, touch everything, but don't touch his skin. He took everything from him and he said, the Lord is still good. Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Then he touched his body and he still said it, and he came up with some of the most amazing truths. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and he shall stand on the earth in the latter day, and I shall see him with mine own eyes, and not those of another. Where'd that come from? From his faith. His faith. Nebuchadnezzar is playing the fool, as many do with the things of God. Somebody has called it playing marbles with diamonds. He's been given this awesome revelation of what will happen throughout the times of the Gentiles. And all he heard was, head of gold, you, O king, are the first and most opulent. You see how those two connect? If I tell you who you are, and you really get it, it can go to your head and you can kind of lose the plot. But the problem is that what happened to this man is something that might happen to many believers. He's not quite there yet. In fact, chapter 4 is where he really gets converted. But let's see what happens. The Bible says, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits, and the breadth thereof was 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. 60 cubits is actual triple sixes, okay? It's triple sixes high. And 6 cubits is triple sixes wide because it's 18 inches. 3 times 6. A cubit is, see? So you got this 18 and 6 cubits is triple sixes. All I'm saying is some people have noted that something really weird here and sinister is taking place. This man is setting things up and it's an image of himself and he's saying, worship me, I'm what? I'm God. Who is like me? Well, I'm telling you what, God will not share his glory with another. He won't. And when a man begins to step over that threshold, he becomes very much precarious on his day-to-day walk because God begins to hone in on people like that. It's been done throughout history. We've had Caesars, we've had pharaohs, and we've had Hitler. You know, they took all the crosses down in Germany and put up pictures of Hitler, and there's all kinds of people who are people who would be God. And they're just mimicking the true God. The king of Tyre, for instance, where we hear Ezekiel kind of dressing down the king of Tyre, and it kind of catapults to Lucifer, who says, I had beauty and I was the sum of perfection. And God says, that's who you were, but you fell. Iniquity was found in you. And that's in Ezekiel chapter 28. And the Bible says that he built this thing, and it was 60 cubits high. Now, if you want to parse this, that's 99 feet. It's 100 feet. That's 10 stories high. And right now in our world, we have a thing called the giant that is 10 stories high. And it can move. And it's a shape-shifting statue. A shape-shifting statue. I've seen pictures of it take on the look of John Lennon. And the reason he would probably be picked is because the anthem of this age is, imagine there's no heaven. It isn't hard if you try. No hell beneath us. Above us only sky. Imagine all the people living life in peace. As if that could even be possibility. Everybody's been there before. Done that before. During the time after the fall and before the flood. Well, the Bible says the land was filled with violence. No law. No governor. And the Bible says that it was so violent God had to turn the plate over and wipe it clean. So we've already played that song. And the world is hankering for a day like that. We saw Spider-Man put up on it and things like that. But the point I'm getting at is that if an Antichrist came, he could be put right up there and everybody would really explode with applause. They're not going to explode in applause for Spider-Man except to say, oh, that's so cool. But when the Antichrist comes and they begin to put him up there, the world will erupt. And you know what? It's going to make its rounds evidently this year. I don't know if it's already moving, but they said 2021 in my readings. And one of the first places that's slated to have it is in Arizona. The Bible says that he made a 100-foot-high or a 10-story-high image. and it was an image of gold. The Bible says in verse 2, then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Now the word dedication comes up again in the next verse. It says they were all gathered to the dedication. So he gave this call for them all to come. Now this is not every person, this is every leader. It is very likely that he's already explained to them what he saw in his dream. And he just had to take it another level because these are the leaders. And basically the leaders then will become the ones who go out and say, this is our king, he had a dream, and this is what it was. And they're almost going to be like his evangelists out there. And so he needs to put everything just so. It's not been done before. Everybody's gathered to this image. And they're all the people who are most responsible. And so the Bible says in verse 3 that they all gathered, therefore, to the dedication. The word dedication is most often used in the Old Testament for the word consecration. This was a consecrating of an idol. It's what it was. It was nothing less than that. It was not just a nice idea to commemorate. It was truly an affront to the things that he had been taught by Daniel and his friends. And the Bible says in verse 4, it says, then an herald cried aloud and said to you, and he's talking to the people, a herald cried. You've heard of criers, heralds. You should know this. The Bible says that pastors are supposed to herald the Word of God. The Greek word keruso means to herald. So if somebody gets a little excited, it would be good. I tell you what, there was a guy named Oliver B. Green years ago. When he would preach, the radio would smoke. I didn't know what to do with it, but I just put that thing over in the room and said, watch it and make sure it doesn't explode. He was really something. And if you'd have heard me preach when I first started, I still have the tape, and it's in a locked key, buried in a deep hole where nobody can find it, okay? It's an interesting thing. I even remember the passage, but understand this. Heralding truth is very important for us, isn't it? Heralding truth. The herald heralded, to you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. You see, to look at an idol is a poor thing. It's just a brick. It's just a block. It's just it's just an image. It's nothing. So in order to amplify what was actually nothing, they needed to add music. And it was all kinds of music. It was very musical. It gave the sense of worship. And the Bible says in this passage that that's when they were supposed to fall down. You're supposed to allow this whole experience to be something to make you want to just fall on your face and worship. Because they had to amplify their efforts that were all vanity. And the Bible says in verse 6, and whosoever falleth not down in worship shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning furnace. Isn't that interesting? I mean, you don't have much choice there. Now, at this point, you have to kind of step back and say, what in the world is going on here, and how is this supposed to be understood? Well, the funny thing is, somebody has well said that the things we learn from history are that we don't learn from history, right? I mean, that's kind of the thing.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.